Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. You know, when the scripture said that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, there's no scripture that ever said that he stopped moving. He's still moving. You know, I love that song, "He's Always Working." Though you can't see it, he's always working. Always working. Always moving by the Spirit, putting together the desires of God through willing souls, people that love him, people that treasure his word. And trust me, I've watched people who get things done in the name of the Lord to perfection. They have something in common. First of all, they share the love of God. They gain the wisdom of God. They gain it. They start with love. They're not always the smartest and most intelligent people in the world, but they just love God. And then God compensates them. He makes the difference. He gives them gifts. When God gives us spiritual gifts, He gives gifts to those who desire them, those who want to make a difference. And so they have love in common. They share it. They share that same love of Jesus. They just want to see people saved. And they stay in that innocent faith. You know, Jesus rejoiced when the 7 day returned with that good report that they had. They found out that they had power over the devil. And they to the point they rejoiced. I love Luke chapter 10. It shows the heart of God. God can do something with people who cooperate. People that just trust. They did everything Jesus said to. I'm going to say that again. They did everything Jesus said do. And they came back with a good report. And you know what Jesus said? Oh, let me not mess it up. I was going to refer to it, but I don't want to mess it up. Not that I go around messing stuff up, but this time I want to do it like God, like the Holy Ghost said do it. Let's look at what he said in the first place. Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. Now watch the instruction. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. You see that? The Lord gave them the truth. You see how the Holy Spirit give you the truth. Sometimes you're gonna encounter wolves dressed in sheep clothing. I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Then he said this: carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And in the same house remain eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Then he said this: heal the sick that are therein, say to them, the kingdom of God is near to you, has come near to you, or come nigh to you. But into whatsoever city you enter, they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. All right. So they came back. I love that part. Verse 17. Sometimes if you receive what the protocols of God, you know what to watch out for. And then verse 16, I was going to go to 17, but 16 says, he that heareth you heareth me, he that despises you despises me, he that despises me despises him that sent me. Now watch this. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You can't have power over Satan without obedience to God. The authority is for those of covenant, those in agreement with him. Ultimately, to everybody who believes, God gave us all authority. But disobedience can forfeit authority. I say that I use the word it can, because if you do something and you know it's not right and you expect Satan to obey you, it's not going to work right. The protocol is obey God. That was always in the protocol, all the way back in the Old Testament days, before man really had they didn't have the authority we have now. They had to obey God, and God cleared the path for them. See, you know, God said he was going to drive out some of the tribes with hornets, you know. But see, that kind of authority, it works with obedient people. When they stop being obedient, then you don't read in the scriptures where God drove them out of the way with hornets. He was going to drive the giants out for them. All they had to do was obey him and take the land. God was going to do the fighting. But that's why you have to get the protocols right. You have to trust God on everything that he say. And some things that God can say can seem very strange. Just like he said, don't carry shoes or script. Now, you know, why would he say that? But when you innocently obey God, you find out why he said it. It's a good reason. And whatever God say is for a reason. And when you live in that bubble of, see, verse 4, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, salute no man on the way. They had to follow, and they followed protocol. And what proves is when they came back saying even the devils are subject to us. Because obedient people will always find themselves winning against Satan in everything that Satan tried to do against them. And as I obeyed God, I found myself winning. When it didn't look like I was going to win. But I did what God said and it worked. Okay, so verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. So Satan has no covenant, just like Goliath had no covenant against David. He was uncircumcised, a man without covenant. And David took him out and killed his head off with his own sword. Then Jesus said this, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So they are bulletproof, they're sword proof, they're knife proof, they're venom proof, they're nuclear proof. Nothing shall by no means hurt you. A man took authority over radioactive nuclear waste in Fukushima, Japan, where the Fukushima power plant was. Henry Groover. They didn't let the kids play in the leaves or eat the fruit in that area. And they had a Geiger counter. And the people that went in to repair the plant were Christian people. The Buddhist scientists wouldn't do it. But the Christian scientists laid their life down for the good of humanity. But when Henry Groover went there, they had the Geiger counter, and he rebuked it. Now, you can listen to this for yourself. It's on the, if you go to YouTube, on the Sheep and Goat Nations, and he talks about this. He rebuked what the radioactive material in that nuclear waste, and the Geiger counter went to zero. So we really do have authority, and we just got to learn to use it. So, this is what Jesus said. And the word of God can't be broken. Nothing. He said, nothing shall by no means hurt you. If I get bit by anything, that's the first thing I quote. If I drink something and it don't taste right, I quote it. If I eat something that's been in the refrigerator and I realize it's been in there over so many days, I quote that scripture. Don't give anything a chance to hurt you. If you make a mistake, and you cut yourself with dirty metal or something, nothing, I quote that scripture. Being a mechanic, I cut myself all the time working. So I do this as a way of life, and it works. Okay. Now, this is the point. I said all that to get to this point. Now, watch what Jesus said. And this is the heart of God. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. So God hides things from the wise and prudent, people who are conceited and they think they know, but they're not really subject to God. I added that part. He says, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes, people that are trusting. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Now, Jesus is rejoicing while he's saying this. God is enthused about giving his best to the babes, people that just trust him. In God's house, in the kingdom of God, we come to him, we trust him like babes. But we don't stay that way. We grow from glory to glory. But we never stop. We should never stop trusting him like babes. Now, yesterday's broadcast was called The Power of Trust. And it showed how in different stages of our life, it can be more challenging to trust God, but you can trust him. And God always requires us to trust him just like a babe to get to the next glory. Because when you become wise and prudent, and you will really be wise and you will really be prudent as you graduate from glory to glory. But the secret, I'm going to tell you the secret. I like giving away secrets to people that's hungry to know. The secret, once you become wise and prudent, don't stop trusting God like a babe. See, a babe, an infant or a toddler, they look to the parent. As long as they do, they're fine. They're going to be fine because their parents love them. How much more does God love us? But when we become wise and prudent, we start asking God, well, wait a minute now. I'm not the best choice for this. Now you're crossing the line when people do that. They're saying, you can get somebody else to do my job, and God already evaluated, and you're the best choice. So, As long as you can trust God like a babe, he can do business with you. He can take you to even greater glories that you can't imagine yet. So when people become so wise and prudent that they don't listen, then God has to, he can't trust them with the next glory. So he got to give it to somebody that's a babe, that would be a babe about it. I've seen a lot of losses that people have no clue about. And it made me feel bad because I saw the visions and heard what God would do in the lives of pastors in the 90s if they had trusted God like babes. See, these 70 did everything God said do. Everything God said do because Jesus told them what God said. And then I watched this part. Because verse 22 goes with it. He said, all these things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. And watch this. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Verse 23. Now, this is the good part. This is 23 and 24. With all that being said, and he is the pinnacle of what I want to share with you. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you do see and have not seen them, and hear those things which you do hear and have not heard them. That's how important it is to be obeyed to the point that you trust God, to the point that you'll do whatever he say do. Now, a babe has no problem writing God a blank check because babes have total trust in their parents, just like they have total trust. They have total trust. And we have to have total trust in God. Now, the Lord put, when he gave me this assignment for today's broadcast as an assignment, yesterday's broadcast was called The Power of Trust. And And this is the dynamics of trust. And what the Lord, when he first taught me about trust, now I'm going to go back in history. I'm going to tell you what how he taught me in the next few minutes. And I want to show you what trust can do also within this broadcast. Maybe we can do it in one setting. It may take two. I don't know. But when the Lord taught me, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that the Lord has given me definitions. Now, the first definition that he gave me was something kept bothering me about virtue. When the lady with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus' garment, virtue went out of her. So I looked it up. I mean, virtue went out of Jesus. And he said, to the point, he said, who touched me? And you know the story. So then I read in 2 Peter chapter 1, after your faith, virtue. I said, okay, Lord, give me your definition of virtue. That was the first time I ever remember asking the Lord for his definition. Because I did, I looked it up in the Webster, I looked it up in Hebrew, I looked it up in Greek, and I was not satisfied with it. I said, it seemed to mean more than this. And the Lord said that virtue is the amount of my word in your heart. Okay, so that's the amount of God's word that's actually in your heart. That's what virtue is. A friend of mine, who happened to be a prophet, he was in the house studying the word, and then he kept being aggravated by others. And then the Lord told him, he said, the enemy's trying to steal your virtue. So he used it as a reference after he gave me the definition, because I told him what God told me. So when the Lord told me that, it changed my life, because I protected the training and the word that was in my heart. I expected the enemy to try to take it, so I was on guard, and I was able to retain and hold on to the wonderful things that I learned from great men of God like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Frank Matchin, Scott Webb. Scott Webb was local and Frank Matchin was local, but I listened to them all. You know, they come on the radio one after another, and the Holy Ghost inspired all of them. And also my other pastors, whatever they said, even things that they said was a long time ago, pastors of old, I was able to retain better. Now, I used to wonder how in the world could Kenneth Hagin remember all those details like he does. Well, yeah, you can retain if you know how. So that was the first definition. He gave me other definitions. And on my, if you go to my webpage, the Living Letters page, click on the link definitions and you'll see other definitions that God gave. Now, one of them was faith. I was listening to Mark 11 one day at work, and the Lord spoke to me. The word of the Lord came to me saying, faith is a definer. I said, whoop, Lord, show me that again. What is that? He said, faith is a definer. And I said, okay. And the way I understood it when he said that, a man is not saved. He hear the word. He believe on Jesus by faith. He becomes saved. He's redefined as a saved man. A man is sick on his deathbed. He believed God for healing. He's redefined as healed. Okay, so faith is a definer. You get to choose your destiny by faith. You can speak. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the poor say, I'm rich. He's redefined, because as long as his faith is on, the angels are in operation, and he's in agreement with God. And in the duration of time, he prospers, and the next thing you know, he's very wealthy, not just in money, but in character. First, wisdom, knowledge, logic, counsel, might, and then because of the industrious activity of his life and faithfulness, he becomes wealthy. He receives wealth is added to him, and the wisdom of God is multiplied to him, and the angels are in operation. So faith is a definer. It gives us a God quality. It's covenant. It links us to the heart of God's will for our life. So now, in the years past, I used faith and trust interchangeably. Now, the Holy Spirit is perfect. Now, in my early writings, if I got it right, it was the Holy Spirit that did it, because I used faith and trust interchangeably. One day I was taking a shower, and I thought about it. I said, I really never asked the Lord his definition of trust. So that day I did. I said, okay, Lord, what's your definition of trust? He said, trust is reliance. I said, and I pondered that, you know, I'm thinking about this. Trust is reliance. I said, Lord, break it down for me. He said, trust is faith. Faith is trust before you see. Trust is faith after you've seen. Then it made sense. And I saw the need of it. Now, trust is reliance. It's also time related, because he used the word after. And also, faith is time related. He used the word before. Faith is trust before you see. Trust is faith after you've seen. Both are very important. Sometimes we look at faith being finished when everything is done. But guess what? One day, something will happen, and the Lord will tell you to do something. And if you become wise and prudent, you may not see the need of doing it the way God said do it. But because he said it, just like Peter, Lord, we taught all day. He was wise and prudent. Fishermen didn't go out after a terrible loss like that. It just didn't make sense to the wise and prudent mind of Peter and the other fishermen with him. But Jesus had just preached the heart of God to the people. And that's why he said, at your word, I let down a net. He let down one, almost broke it. And then his friends came to help him, and they got the load in. Now, that's how valuable trust is. That's a perfect example of what the power of trust. If Peter would have stuck to his wise and prudent mind, he wouldn't have launched out in the deep and let down a net. He had enough faith to let down one instead of all of them. And his net began to break. So now you got to get the haul in with a net that's breaking. And then they had other nets. They got it in, but now you got to repair his net. If he had done what Jesus said the first time, he wouldn't even have to repair his net. So there's consequences in delayed trust, and there are blessings in trust, even if it is delayed. So we have to, if we trust God like a babe, even though we become wise and prudent. Now, how many people that become wise and prudent can trust God like a babe? So statistically, the numbers start diminishing, but thank God he raised up people that will. Now, over time, I kept asking questions about faith. And then I found out this. He taught me more dynamics of trust and faith. But he said, trust is a noun, whereas faith is a verb. It's like two sides of the same coin. Trust believes God because of the past. And once you act on it, like a babe would, then it turns into act. Once you act, faith. The trust turns into faith as you act on it. Just like believing God. Now, Abraham believed God, and he loaded up his belongings, took his wife, and he also took Lot, so that was partial obedience. Once Lot was separated, then God revealed to him what he was going to do and make covenant with him. So he said, leave your country, your kindred, and your father's house. Go to a land I'll show you. So he did this. And it's because he believed God. So the day came, maybe a few years after that, I said, Lord, wait a minute now. Believing God is also a noun. But I said, and trust is a noun. What's the difference between believing God and trust? He said, trust relies, it relies on God without the past. Trust believes God because of the past, and believing God relies on God without the past. Trust believes God because of the past, your past relating to him. That's why a relationship is so necessary. And believing God is taking God at face value. So both are necessary, because both are you're going to be required to do both if you love God. When you read the word of God, you believe it. You weren't there when all this stuff happened. One friend of mine said, well, I have to believe God. I have to believe God's word. I said, why? He said, because I wasn't there. He's right. Some things we have to take God at face value. Just like we weren't there when Jesus died on the cross. But we were in his mind. He was thinking about us. But we were not there. In flesh and bone. In blood. We were not there. We believe on the righteousness. But in relating to God, now we're relating to him. And remember, trust doesn't do anything. It's like, okay, if you sit down hard in a recliner, you trust that recliner. If you get on any airplane, you trust that airplane with everything you got. You trust that not only in the airplane itself, but you trust that the angels are with you. You trust that you're going to be fine, because you're lifting off the ground and you're flying very high in the air. And you're safe. You're safe because the plane is well sound. You blessed it. And then the angels, you know the angels. And some people just trust the plane because of the past. Last time they fly, some people fly in their business and they're used to it. You know, the first time I rode a motorcycle, I was cautious. This thing's fast. I don't want to fall riding fast. But as I rode it, my dad bought me a Kawasaki 100 when I was about 12 years old. I rode that thing everywhere. And then the more I rode it, the more I would lean in the curves. I got used enough to the motorcycle. Last time I did it, I was all right. I could drive fast in the wood. I could jump things, you know. Because it was an enduro. It was a street trail, you know. You could go off-road. It didn't have the most aggressive knobby tires, but if you knew how to handle what you had. So you got used to it. So I was more daring because of the past until I fell. Then I started riding cautiously. So trust is based on the past. Your relationship with the Lord. Every glory I've entered into, you know, when I asked him to teach me to love his people, I entered into a glory. When he taught me how to kill lust, I entered into another glory. When he taught me about business. Now, I always use that as a reference, so I'll briefly do it again. One day I kept having this, a season happened, and I kept having the same problem. Now, this is my second year in business. I said, Lord, why do I keep having the same problem? He showed me what to do about it. I said, that'll work. And I rejoiced. I was at UAB in their lobby that year. I was taking up intro to engineering. So I said, Lord, that will work. Then I said, wait a minute. Why didn't you tell me? You knew I needed to know that a long time ago. Why didn't you tell me months ago? He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. I said, whoa. I said, what? And the thought came to me, just like it did you. What else am I missing out on? And that's when I made my vow. I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it, whether I like it, love it or not, hate it or not, like it or not. I'm going to obey you. Those are my words. And so, because I made a vow, that's why. I trusted God with a wise and prudent mind, but not like a babe. I did it because I had to. So I can't really call myself a hero in the early stages when God led me the way he did. He led me different, and I have never heard of anybody being led the way I was. But as I entered into those glories, even though I was very reluctant to give a pastor a word that I didn't know, that was difficult for me. But I learned so much obeying God, and to the point that I'm doing this now, because I kept obeying God, kept entering into greater glories. Now, this is why we must be like a babe, and that's the secret of trust. Trust is there. But you got to be like a babe when you're wise and prudent. See, a man of faith, you can do all kind of things, all kind of miracles. You begin to expect things to be to go a certain way, and then the Lord, he won't flip the script on you, but he prepared you to enter into another glory, another logical and ways of thinking that you may not know. And it's going to be word based. He's not going to guide you around the word. It's going to be word based. Every time he ever taught me something, I found scriptures to support it. Now remember, I had a holiness Pentecostal mind, and I kept seeking the Lord. Some things, and if you've been around holiness Pentecostals, everything they do is not sound doctrine. They mean well, and they try hard, but that's why if they do a great work of God, they got to stay in that prayer room to overcome the culture and the mindset that they're wise and prudent. But when you become like a babe to the point that God can train you, you have to unlearn some things. You know, my first challenge, I had a Methodist mind. And that challenged me to go to a holiness church. But because I met Mom Powell and she had a relationship with the Lord, I was after that relationship. So I assumed that the holiness people, because she was Pentecostal, she went to a Church of God in Christ, I think. I think that's the kind of church that's the kind of holiness church she went to. She was very wise, though. She was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And in that culture, you have all kind of rules and regulations. Women don't wear pants, makeup, jewelry, and, you know, in the early version, now, the church I went to, they didn't care about sports and movies and things like that. Some people, the older people, didn't want you to do that.